Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Welcome to this edition of Africa Link. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany. And these are some of the stories we've lined up for you. Southern African Regional Bloc SADC agrees to dispatch a team of observers to crisis torn Lesotho following an apparent coup.
The South African government, consistent with the African Union position on unconstitutional change of government, wishes to reaffirm the AU position and warn that such unconstitutional change of government shall not be tolerated.
Kenya starts biometrically registering all civil servants in an attempt to remove ghost workers from the government's payroll.
Previous exercises on terms of registration has shown that they are usually people who have died or people who have ceased working, but they still exist in the payroll.
And it is that time of the year when King Muswati III of Swaziland chooses for himself a new bride among thousands of teenage girls paraded before him in the popular reed dance. Details of these stories coming up in the next 25 minutes, so stay with us.
Top story.
Southern African Regional Bloc SADC on Monday agreed to dispatch a team of observers to crisis-torn Lesotho following an apparent coup, while coalition leaders agreed to restore parliament, which was suspended in June. Lesotho's Prime Minister Thomas Tabane was apparently ousted by the military over the weekend. Although the army has since returned to the barracks, the latest developments have further weakened an already fragile coalition government, which saw parliament being suspended 2 months ago. From Johannesburg, Tuzo Kumalo sent this report.
South African President Jacob Zuma and foreign ministers from Zimbabwe and Namibia met in South Africa following reports of a coup by the Lesotho military. Lesotho Prime Minister Thomas Tabane, who fled into South Africa, accused his coalition partner, Deputy Prime Minister Motejo Metsing, of engineering a coup. Tabane, however, still has hopes of normalizing the situation.
The suspicion that there could be a coup was not totally unjustified. There were makings of a coup, but I think it was nipped in the bud and it is not going to take place. We are dealing with the situation in order to normalize it as quickly as possible.
Lesotho formed a coalition government in 2012 following hotly contested elections. But coalition partners recently accused Prime Minister Tabane of taking decisions without consulting them. In June, Deputy Prime Minister Metsing vowed to push for a parliamentary vote of no confidence against Tabane. Both of them were in Pretoria for meetings with President Zuma and the SADC Troika. Webster Zambara of the Cape Town-based Institute for Justice and Reconciliation argued that the events in Lesotho have all the evidence of a coup.
The news that the army has occupied some important buildings, including taking over the headquarters of the police force, has all the hallmarks of a coup.
On Saturday, the military temporarily seized key buildings, as well as the country's radio and television station. They then took over some police stations. The army has, however, denied staging a coup. Army spokesperson Captain Ntele Ntoi said the army only moved into the police stations to confiscate weapons after gathering intelligence reports that police planned to arm members of Tabane's party against Deputy Prime Minister Metsing's party.
This issue of always alleging that the Lesotho Defense Force is mounting a coup d'etat, that is a baseless allegation.
The military, however, also attacked the home of the new military boss, Maparango Mahao. They had on Friday rejected his appointment and insisted that the sacked Army Lieutenant General Kennedy Kamoli is still in charge.
Tuzo Kumalo reporting from Johannesburg. And shortly before we came on air, I spoke to Dimfo Motsamai from the Institute of Security Studies in Pretoria, and I started by asking her whether SADC's intervention could reverse the situation in favor of the allegedly ousted Prime Minister.
Depends on the kind of intervention that SADC is going to be proposing, because in Lesotho there is a security problem that needs to be stabilized, so you need an intervention that will stabilize the insecurity in Maseru, the capital, And then the second level of the intervention is the political facilitation between the three coalition partners. The coalition partners' relationship has been deteriorating for a couple of months, such that the governing coalition is unstable. There is no proper governing coalition as we stand. So it would depend on the two levels of intervention, the security intervention and the political intervention from SADC, and whether that is going to be recommended, because that's where the solution lies.
Was the coup inevitable given the political climate there?
There was no coup in the first place. What happened over the weekend was more actions of anarchy and actions that are treasonable on the part of the commander of the Lesotho Defense Force, Army Chief Tladi Kamudi. Tladi Kamudi was fired by the country's prime minister on Friday, and this decision was rejected by him. And as part of this rejection, he had a plot to put political pressure and probably intimidation so that the prime minister can reverse his decisions. So this is not a coup in the sense that these are actions of a lack of respect to the office of the prime minister. And as the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, not a coup. And also for the simple reason that the government of Lesotho still has a legitimate leader in the form of the prime minister, who is now exiled, but constitutionally and legally, he remains the country's prime minister. But also you have the Lesotho king, and according to the Lesotho constitution, the king is the head of state of the government. So nobody has taken government over as we know it. What we have is elements of insurgency as led by the military.
I was speaking to Dimfo Motsamai from the Institute of Security Studies in Pretoria, South Africa.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
Kenya has started biometrically registering all civil servants in an attempt to remove ghost workers from the government's payroll. Employees have 2 weeks to register or risk their names being deleted from the payroll. President Uhuru Kenyatta pledged to curb corruption in the public service after taking office in 2013. And this is seen as one of his first steps to fight corruption. James Shimanyula attended the launch in the capital, Nairobi, and prepared the following report.
The countrywide fresh registration of public service employees was officially launched by President Uhuru Kenyatta at the coastal city of Mombasa. In the capital, Nairobi, the registration was carried out outside Kenyatta's office at Harambee House, where Interior Minister Joseph Ole Lenku explained why time had come for ghost workers to be removed from the public sector payroll.
The wage bill has reached an affordable level, hence the need for an efficient and effective public service. We need to take biometric data of all public servants. What we expect at the end of it all is that, first of all, we don't have ghost workers in the system, and that we will be able to clean the system so that we are able to effectively serve the public.
Mwenda Njoka, spokesman for the Interior Ministry, explained the significance of the registration of public workers.
This registration exercise is aimed at capturing data on all civil servants who are working within the national and county governments. Previous exercises on terms of registration has shown that they are usually people who have died or people who have ceased working, but they still exist in the payroll.
The payroll that Mwenda Njoka is referring to amounts to $2 million. The amount is paid out monthly to ghost workers through government officers no longer employed in the public service. Kenya has 700,000 public service workers, and half of them are believed to be ghost workers. Since the country gained independence from Britain 51 years ago, the government has carried out regular headcount of its employees, but the payroll, according to Interior Ministry spokesman Mwenda Njoka, has ballooned year in, year out. 26-year-old Mohamed Hussein Mahmoud, a teacher, says the registration process will not be the answer to the problem.
Kenya is a very corrupt country, and there is a lot of bureaucracy among the public service. So the probability of ghost workers still using corruption to get in is still very high.
Computer technician Julius Murungi, aged 29, concurred with Mahmoud.
In my opinion, I think it's too late. I feel the initiative should have been started quite a while back, because you know, the government knew there are some ghost workers. We knew we had this problem.
That report was compiled by James Shimanyula in Nairobi. Now, unlike Lesotho, that is faced with political uncertainty, for Swaziland, it is that time of the year for the king to choose yet another teenager for a wife among thousands of young virgin girls who dance semi-naked in front of him in the annual Umulanga or Reed Dance. The dance is a week-long festival that culminates in a final night of singing and dancing in which the king traditionally chooses a new wife. The 46-year-old king currently has 15 wives and some 27 children, but he's just getting started. His father, King Sobhuza, had 70 wives and 210 children when he died in 1982. So, can King Mswati break his father's record? From the capital, Mbabane, Bobby Bascom sent this report.
Columns of young women and girls from across Swaziland sing as they pass through a gate to gather on a large field surrounded by the Lubombo Mountains. It took nearly 2 hours for the 80,000 girls to assemble in front of the royal palace of King Swati. The girls range from roughly 5 to 20 years old. They are topless but for a sash that covers one breast and wear tiny skirts which show off their bottoms. But most of the girls here, like 14-year-old Fendil, say they wouldn't want to be chosen as the king's new wife.
I don't want to be a wife because there are so many wives of King Swati. I want to have my own, my husband that will love me.
The government feeds the girls each day they are here and sends them home with meat for their families. 63% of Swazis live on less than $1.25 a day. So Fendil says free food is an incentive for her to come here.
I like that the king give us a half of bread. My family gets some food.
Precious Malini, who is among the girls to be chosen, says she likes coming to the reed dance because it's a fun social event.
Yes, I like to spend my time with these girls, dancing, singing, shouting. It's nice.
To participate, the girls must pass a virginity test. In a country where 1 in 4 people has HIV, the highest infection rate in the world, Timothy Velbo Matwada, governor of the Royal Palace, says the reed dance promotes chastity among young women.
They are taught not to sleep with boys, and they are taught that if they do sleep with boys, or if you follow what I mean, they might get any disease.
King Swati may have his pick of 80,000 virgins for his new wife, but do the girls have the right to decline a proposal?
I'm sorry, I'm not going to answer that one.
Mary Rayner is a Southern Africa researcher for Amnesty International. She says it's important to view the reed dance within the greater context of women's rights in Swaziland.
That under Swazi law and custom, girls as young as 13 can be married. There's a range of laws that limit women's autonomy in the area of property rights. There's a grave concern around the issue of marital rape.
Rayner says the most important thing is that the girls are participating of their own free will.
Are the young women participating in this fully aware of their rights to say no, their rights not to participate, their right to be treated with dignity and respect?
For impoverished young women with limited education, economic and family pressure may be too much to resist. 42-year-old Solana Lamini participated in the reed dance 7 times. Today she has 2 daughters, 14 and 5 years old. How would she feel, I asked her, if her daughters didn't want to come?
Yeah, I feel very angry, very, very angry.
Would you try to make her come anyway?
Yes, anyway, yes.
Bobby Bascom with that report. And I'll be back for a brief summary of the main stories. But first, let's listen to a weekly drama series on hygiene.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of our learning by ear series called Hygiene, How to Avoid Diarrhea. In the last episode, Baby Fatu lost her life to diarrhea. Her elder brother Sam was also very unwell at home. the family is still shocked by the bad news of baby Fatu's untimely death. But they left the hospital in a rush because they needed to check on Sam, who had been left at home in bed. There must be a way to save Sam from diarrhea and its consequences. Let's listen what happens when they get to their house where their neighbor, Maria, is waiting for them.
Edith, and you, my daughter Chemu, what took you so long? I've been stuck here alone with Sam.
Sam!
Chemu, what is wrong with you, child? And you, Eddie, and your doctor wife, Sally. Why is everyone wearing such long faces?
Oh, everyone is dead now. Diarrhea. Come take me as well.
Edith, could someone tell me what is going on?
No.
And where is baby Fatu? Asleep in the car? You know all she does is cry and sleep.
Maria, baby Fatu is dead.
What? Dr. Sally, what are you saying? That's not possible. My friend Edith, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. You should have all told me immediately. Oh, I should have baked those bananas earlier. They sure would have helped. And now baby Fatu has...
Don't blame yourself, Maria. And there's no way those bananas would have helped.
What do we do now? What do we do now? No.
As everybody else was thinking about poor baby Fatu, Chemu finally made it into Sam's bedroom, and pale as he looked, she wasn't sure he was still alive.
Sam? Samu? Are you dead?
Yes, Chemu. I am dead. The way I feel, I could as well be dead.
Don't die, Sam. Don't die. Get up. We have to go to hospital. If we don't, diarrhea will kill you, just like baby Fatu.
What? Is my sister dead? Oh, no.
Sam, are you awake? Get up. I've come to take you to hospital.
Oh, no. This room smells. Then it is true about Fatu and Tisali.
Yes, Sam. I'm very sorry. Oh. But the most important thing right now is to get you to hospital. Now.
I don't believe it about Fatu and Tisali. Will I also die? I have diarrhea, don't I? And that may kill me. Isn't that right?
If you do not get medical attention immediately, you have a high chance of dying, yes. How long have you been sick? When did you first notice you were going to the toilet too often?
I don't know. About 2 weeks ago.
That is too long. You should have gone to hospital sooner. Now, come on, let me help you. Diarrhea is very dangerous, especially when it just carries on.
This place smells like a sewer.
Oh, Maria, it's good you're here. Help me get Sam ready. He's too weak to even walk, let alone dress himself.
Don't ask me to touch this boy. The whole day after you left me alone with him, this boy has been like two busy jets. Watery and smelly stuff has been gushing out from both ends. We just didn't know which end would be next. Look at these clothes. See?
Stop. Maria, do not touch his soiled clothes with your bare hands. Why? Now, go out. Out.
What?
Out now, Maria, and wash your hands immediately.
What is wrong with my hands? I have nursed many other sick people. This is not different.
Teacher said we must wash our hands all the time.
Young lady, I keep telling you are not...
Maria, I am the doctor here, and I'm asking you to go and wash your hands thoroughly right now. Otherwise, you two will be the next... How did you describe it? Doesn't know which end will be next. Well, if you do not wash your hands immediately, you will also be spraying from both ends in a matter of hours. It is exactly by handling clothes contaminated with excreta like this that you are passing on diarrhea to each other. Now, Maria, go wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Only washed hands should be used to eat. Careless people don't wash their hands after visiting the toilet. Keep healthy. Wash your hands.
As they help Sam up out of the bed and to the hospital, Chemu sings on, reminding herself and everyone who will listen that the simple action of washing hands will keep diarrhea away, as will avoiding touching surfaces contaminated by excreta. It was sad to lose baby Fatu, but it looks like Africa will not lose another child in Sam. That is, if they get to hospital in time.
Sam, they have put you on a drip like baby Fatu, but it did not help her.
Auntie Sally, thanks for bringing me to hospital, but I'm really scared. I'm scared that I will die like my baby sister Fatu.
Sam, if you die, I will die.
Shh, no one is dying. Actually, no one needs to die of diarrhea. You and I can prevent it, and if unluckily you do get it, if you're treated early enough, you will recover. It is as simple as that.
I know. Auntie Sally, I know.
You must tell all your parents, friends, everyone. It is simple to avoid and to treat, okay?
Yes, Auntie Sally.
What are they doing with all the samples they took from me?
You had to put your poo and pee in a small bottle.
Stop, Auntie Sally, stop her.
Come on, Chemu, give your boyfriend a break.
She's not my
He's
girlfriend.
He's not my boyfriend.
Hey, glad we got that important fact out of the way. Can we now go back to your illness, Sam? You see, Sam, I looked at your stool sample.
Yuck.
It was watery with traces of blood and mucus. There are signs of amoebic infection. We call it amoebiasis.
Yucky, yucky.
The medical staff here will probably find protozoa infections with amoebiasis that has invaded and eaten away the inside of the intestine. That's what produces the blood and mucus. We call it dysentery.
Yuck! Oof. Dysentery is yuck! Ugh.
Yes, Chemu, you also get to feel very yucky.
Is that what killed my baby sister?
There are different diarrheal bacteria and parasites. I believe what baby Fatu had was enteropathogenic bacteria.
Entatho what?
I'm glad you have refound your sense of humor. The drip fluid and nutrients must be working. Let me try and explain in simple words. What baby Fatu had was similar to you, but slightly different. The bacteria in her produce toxins that eat away the inside of the intestine. They interfere with the body's ability to take up the fluids and nutrients, which we get from what we eat and drink.
Poor baby Fatu.
She got dehydrated and lost a lot of body fluid. This, by the way, Sam, is a main cause of deaths in children.
She cried a lot.
This is because the dehydration eating away the lining of the intestine causes a lot of pain and discomfort in the stomach and bowels. You have been throwing up a lot, haven't you?
Yes, much more than baby Fatu.
Yucky.
Well, this is also because the pain you feel is due to the cramps as a result of intestines reacting to the bacterial toxins.
Dr. Sally, this is getting hard. Bacterial amoeba toxins?
Oh, I'm sorry, Chemu. Actually, it is time we leave Sam alone to rest. He will have to rest a lot to get well again.
I want to stay with him. Can I stay here? I want to take care of Sam. I promise I will be good.
Chemu, the best care you can now give Sam is to let him rest and get his strength back. We'll come back and see him tomorrow.
Promise?
Promise, Chemu. I promise you.
Well, fortunately, Sam is now on the mend. The hospital staff will make sure he regains his health by giving him medication to fight the bacteria or parasites that is causing the diarrhea. Sam will survive. However, back at home, we have still not identified what caused the diarrhea in the first place. We also know there are soiled clots left behind by baby Fatu and Sam. Are we about to have another case of diarrhea at Edith's home? Tune in to the next episode of our Learning by Ear series about diarrhea and find out. You can also visit our website at www.dwworld.de/LBE. And don't forget to send us your comments as well. Goodbye and take care.
And now, a reminder of our main stories that we've covered for you in the last 25 minutes. Southern African Regional Bloc on Monday agreed to dispatch a team of observers to Crisis Town, Lesotho, following an apparent coup. Kenya starts biometrically registering all civil servants in an attempt to remove ghost workers from the government's payroll. We've also been hearing about the reed dance in Swaziland that presents King Mswati III with another opportunity to choose another virgin girl as his wife. We welcome your comments on our program. You can send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, a text message to country code +491609575910, or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Africa Link returns tomorrow at the same time, and I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn.